Hi, it's Craig Sigal here, the mental toughness trainer, delivering to you life-changing strategies, training, and techniques to become fearless, direct your mind, master your emotions, and speed you along to your goals. Show notes and to stay connected to me are at mentaltoughnesstrainer.com with a link to all podcast episodes at the top of the site. All right, let's do this. All right, welcome back. This is episode number 7, and today we are going to talk about and give you tools, strategies, and techniques to eliminate or minimize fear of failure. I'm going to tell you how we get it, I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to give you some specific perspectives that you're going to need the RACE formula or some other methodology to get it into your body so that you have different, more useful responses whenever you're ready to compete or take action towards your goals. All right, so let's start off with, well, how do we get it? Well, it's really simple. Pretty much everything that happens to us whenever we feel bad, and this starts when we're a child, whenever we feel bad, well, whatever we're experiencing must be bad, right? We actually still hold that general programming and we respond to things the exact same way. Now, if we're talking about sports and parents and coaches, you need to be aware of this. A simple example of that in youth sports is the child comes off the field, court, mat, whatever, having not performed so well. And the child sees disappointed faces, everybody's sad, sees all sorts of reactions, and so then that must be bad. The child feels bad. That experience must be bad. And somewhere in the near future after that, or maybe right away, the child learns that we get to label those experiences failure, or we've failed. Somewhere in the process, we connect those bad experiences to failure. And I'm of the belief, and it's been proven, cut that part. And I'm here to tell you, most of the fears that I help people get over because of the generalized meanings that we give to words and events, and we don't question them. And the thing is, when we're little, yeah, we're not going to question them because we think very simply. We don't think in terms of specifics and context and this applies here but not there. Let me ask you this. What if there really wasn't such a thing as failure? What if it didn't exist? One of my favorite quotes of all time from one of the greatest coaches of all time, Coach John Wooden, who, if you don't know, won like, I think it's 11 out of 12 NCAA championships for his basketball team coaching. And one of my favorite quotes is, "We never lose. Sometimes the clock runs out." Now think about that for a moment. We never lose. Sometimes the clock runs out. This is going to lead me into the core of what I'm going to teach you here today, but I want you to just hold on to that for a moment. Because if there was no such thing as failure, well, you would probably perform in competition no matter how important or how much, quote, pressure, unquote, you think there is to perform. If there was no failure, you'd perform your best, just like you're able to perform your best in practice where it doesn't mean anything, or a scrimmage where it doesn't mean anything, or in a pickup game, for example, just having fun at recess or after school, or for business people. What if there wasn't such a thing as failure? How would you act? Would you go for things that you're afraid to right now? Now, I know there's a little bit of a difference there between business failures, which cost us money, right? And sports failures, which, well, probably the worst thing that happens is you feel bad. You don't achieve your goals kind of thing. But still, The principle applies the same. I want you to recognize how you would act and you would feel differently in your actions if there was no such thing as failure. Now, I'm going to contrast what I just said there. I want you to hold on to that for a minute here, to an idea that's put out there everywhere. And that's this idea of embracing failure. Failure's good. You know, that old Michael Jordan statement, and I've used it, and it's useful. It's not bad. It's useful. It can be good. You know, that I've failed so many times to miss this, failed to win this game-winning shot 40 million times or whatever the numbers are. I failed this, and that's why I succeed. Coaches are always talking about embrace failure. And again, I'm not dissing it. However, I think there's something way better. I'm going to give you a completely new idea I want you to open your mind to. Because I think that is the biggest block to getting over fear of failure, that this is the way it is. This is what I learned. This is what I know. And I don't know any different. So open your mind to something that could quite possibly change your life right here, right now. And I teach all my clients this. Are you ready? Failure does not exist. There's no such thing as failure. And that's the absolute truth. Now, you might, if you were in my office, I get this all the time, you might want to challenge me. Oh, yes, there is, Craig. Oh, yes, there is. You know, I said, really? What is it then? Tell me what failure is. Well, if I go for a goal and I don't get it. And I said, well, you just gave me a perfectly accurate description of an event. You were trying for a goal and you didn't get it in the time frame that you hoped to get it. I don't see any reason to use the word or the label or the idea of failure in that description. Now, it's always funny when I have clients in my office and I'm talking about this to watch them get a little confused, shift in their chair, like, what is he talking about? But let's continue, because all of my teachings have got to stand up to the logical extreme. And I say failure doesn't exist. And that's what I want you to adopt from this podcast here and see what it does for you. Well, Craig, what if I'm up to bat? I'm a baseball player and I strike out and it's the end of the game and we lose the game by one run when I had runners on base and I struck out. Once again, that's a beautiful description of what happened. I see no reason to use the word failure in there. It's just an event. The truth about all events in terms of you wanting to achieve something is it's an experience for you to learn from. Let me introduce you to a concept I call the deadly accurate truth that supports this idea that failure does not exist and basically makes you feel a lot better about doing things. Remember what I said earlier? What if there wasn't such a thing as failure? How would you play? How would you operate in your business? Right? I'm not saying to do dumb stuff, non-strategic stuff. No, you're still going to make decisions because you have a goal in mind and you have a plan to achieve that goal, and strategic decisions are most likely to help you achieve that goal. But what it does is it gets rid of the interference, the fear, the nervousness, the tension, the procrastination. Yes, fear of failure causes procrastination. It stops action. Stops the aggressiveness and the chances you need to take. I actually had somebody challenge me, well, Craig, what about a test? A test where once you take it, there's a piece of paper and there's a box marked pass, fail, and teachers check one of those boxes. And if you don't pass that test, the teacher checks that box, fail. And my answer to that is, I can't help it if other people want to use that term and that idea, fail or failure. Can't help it if they want to do that. That's their choice. It's their prerogative. If they want to take pen or a printer and put ink on top of parchment or paper and form a little box and write four little letters, fail, and put a check mark in there, they can do that if they want. But it has nothing to do with me and that idea that doesn't exist. The truth is the deadly accurate truth. This is the concept that supports there is no such thing as failure. It is the deadly accurate truth on this event is that you took a test and you did not score enough points to get a passing grade. That's the deadly accurate truth. Now you tell me what feels better. I failed a test, or I didn't pass a test. I didn't get a score. I got a score of 49 or whatever the score is. You see, we assign all this crazy meaning and all these difficult emotions are attached to the idea and the word fail and failure, which are all useless. Why use it? The term fail or failure. Not useful for me. I don't see how it's useful for anyone other than in communication so you understand somebody else and how they use it. But for yourself, delete the idea from your entire existence. We're going to start using the deadly accurate truth to describe events and experiences. And the only meaning we're going to give to experiences where we don't achieve what we want to achieve is that it is whatever happened is something to learn and improve from. Period. This is a radical thought. I know we've been pounded into our brains from all these experiences where we didn't achieve what we want. And we felt bad, and therefore it must be bad. But you're not a victim to that. You don't have to go with that. Most people go with that their whole life, but you don't have to. You get to choose your thoughts and beliefs. And some thoughts make us feel better than other thoughts. Why would you choose thoughts and beliefs that make you feel bad? When I have clients in my office, I say, and if you could see me, I'd have one hand out when I say, so do you perform better when you feel good? Right hand is out. Or when you feel bad, left hand is out. And I got my hands holding out. And they point to my right hand. Feel good. Right. So why choose thoughts that make you feel bad? I thought you wanted good performance. I thought you wanted better performance. See, people don't realize they get to choose those things. They just go with what they've been taught and have believed their whole life without questioning that generalization I told you about earlier. So ask yourself, which story about an event feels better? Because the story, the figment of your imagination, I can actually call it a ghost, is that it's a failure or I failed. It's just a story in your head. And we can label occurrences any way we want to. And the truth is, failure is a lie. And all the things we attach to that idea, fail, failure, you're lying to yourself. If you're going to lie to yourself, why don't you lie to yourself so that you feel good? Because the truth, even John Wooden's, we never lose. The clock just runs out on us. And the score is such that the other team has more points than us. Deadly accurate truth, is it not? But to throw in there, we're a failure. We're losers. We lost so that we can't beat this team. Or whatever. We add on to the idea of fail and failure and all the attachments we have to that concept throughout our whole life, which just roll around in our head and trigger all sorts of difficult emotions automatically because you've been believing this your whole life. Forget it. You can stop the whole thing right now by deleting the idea there's even such a thing. Now, I had one client who says, well, you got to prove to me that there is failure. I go, no, I don't. You can't prove something doesn't exist. You have to prove it does exist. I don't have to prove that there's not 8-legged winged monsters flying into the Earth every day from planet Xenon. I don't have to prove that. You have no evidence there is. No one's ever seen one. There's absolutely nothing to support that idea, so I don't have to prove it. You have to prove it does exist. That's how things work. Yet people just buy into this whole idea of failure. So once again, another supporting concept to take away from this podcast here is the idea of useful versus not useful. And you get to choose, is this description of an event and experience useful for me? In other words, does it make me feel good when I think it? Or is it not useful for me? And you can choose. To me, failure is just a word other people use to describe their experiences. There's no need for you to ever use it again when referring to yourself about achieving a goal or wanting to do something. Just delete it. Start telling yourself better stories about events. You have this power. Now, here's the thing. I get it. I'm working with your conscious mind, your thinking mind right now. And you've had years of just the opposite programmed into the inner intelligence of your body. Your unconscious mind or your power mind, I tell the kids. These beliefs are a lot tougher to change. Even if you can understand and are ready to go with what I'm saying here, that there's no such thing as failure. But the way it happens, and you go through my race formula, the first four podcasts to get the bigger picture of this, but A, this has to make logical sense to you, which is what I've been appealing to you so far in introducing this concept. It's got to start with your conscious mind. And I'd love to hear your challenges. And the truth of it is, whatever you say, I'm going to say, so how does what you're saying work for you? It's always fun to watch people squirm on that. Because that's the crux of the matter. Do you get that? They just think this is the way it is. Remember I said that earlier? And they don't realize they can choose differently. And then once it makes sense to you, if what I'm saying here, you go, wow, this is interesting. I can't see any reason. It doesn't make any logical sense. So, okay, Craig, now, how do I change my belief? Well, that's the race formula methodology. Guided visualizations do that. Anytime you want to go get a massage where you're into feeling your body. Do you ever notice, like, when you get into a shower, a warm bath, you're feeling your body, and so you're connected to your body's intelligence. That's why you get ideas in the shower or warm bath, because that intelligence is feeding you ideas, and you're open to that. Well, what if you directed thoughts the other way down into your body while you're in that experience? That's a great way to change beliefs. There's so many other ways. I'll probably do a whole nother podcast on this. So let's go over. Let's practice some deadly accurate truth descriptions of events where there's absolutely no need for the word or concept failure, right? I went up to kick a PK kick in my soccer game, and the ball did not go into the goal. If you want to continue that story, and our team ended up with less points than the other team. And we walked off the field, beginning our process for what we need to do to improve for the next game. We reviewed what we needed to learn from that game as a team and later on individually. And we went to work in practice, devising strategies, drills, and other sorts of training methods to correct the things, to continually improve. So that the next game we play, we will end up with more points than the other team. That's kind of a long, drawn-out, deadly accurate truth about an experience, isn't it? We could do this all day long about everything, not just goal achievement, couldn't we? bottom line is, does it work for you? Would you like to feel good or would you like to feel bad? But it's not enough. I'm always railing on personal development folks in my industry and even sports and regular psychologists promoting this, let's react after we have the difficult emotions. No, that's fine and dandy. But you're never going to change the automatic responses you have unless you go clear the reason why you have that response in the first place. That's everything I do. But it's got to start with conscious understanding. And I hope you've got that here from today's podcast. There is no such thing as failure. It doesn't exist as a story in your mind. And go listen to the other podcast to learn a little bit more about how to get that into your body's intelligence. So that whenever you go up to an important event, important speech, presentation in business, you act just like your full ability to use your skills and talents when it's not important. There'll be nothing except a little bit of excitement because it's important. The problem is when you tack on fear to excitement, that's what we call nervousness. Tension, anxiety, your brain goes crazy worrying about what could go wrong, the failure. Just delete the idea. Nothing ends. The story never ends. We think it ends with failure. Boom, got to avoid it. Fear, right? No. I'm going to finish with this little parable I like to use to help you understand. So the story starts with a farmer back in the old times, and he had fields that he plowed by hand with a harness and a single-person plow. And he can only do so much by himself, and he had a son who helped him. And one day he's out there plowing, and his son is out on a hunt, and the son comes home, and he's got a horse on a rope behind him. Now, this is not his horse. And as the son approaches, the neighbor notices and comes on over. And the farmer says, "What do you got there, son?" "Oh, I captured this wild horse. I hope I can I'm gonna train it and we can plow so much more with the horse." And the neighbor says, "You're so lucky. This is so great. You're gonna be rich." And the farmer says, "We'll see." "Huh?" The neighbor's confused. "Oh, okay, whatever." A couple weeks later, the son is trying to train the horse, and the horse kicks the son in the leg and breaks his leg. Neighbor comes over at some point, and, "Where's your son? I thought he was training the horse." Horse kicked him in the leg and broke his leg. And the neighbor's, "Oh, that's so bad. I'm so sorry. How long is it getting about? Months. Oh, man, I'm sorry." And the farmer says, "We'll see." The neighbor's all confused again. "Huh? Oh, whatever." A couple weeks, months later, whatever. The country goes to war. And government officials come to all the farms to take all eligible males to go fight in the war for the country. And they come to the neighbor's house and they take his son and they come to the farmer's house. And the farmer opens the door and they say, "We hear you've got a son who's of age and come on in. His leg is broken." They show him the twisted, mangled leg out of the splint. And they say, "Okay, well, if the war's still going on a year from now, we'll be back." And the neighbor comes over, crying, "Oh, they took my son to war to battle. What about your son?" "Well, they couldn't take him because his leg is, he can't fight." "Oh, you're so lucky. Oh, this is so fortunate." And the farmer says, you know what he says, "We'll see." So you see, the story never ends. Sometimes the worst things turn out to be the biggest blessings. There's tremendous value in struggle and not achieving our goals. The real purpose here is to work towards achieving goals. When you achieve them, you better darn well put another one up there. I know people who don't do that and go into depression because of that, because they have no purpose. And failure isn't the end of the line. Achieving or not of the goal isn't the end of the story. It continues on. And you never know. We'll see. Find your happiness in the daily going for it, whatever you're experiencing, because there is no failure. That story doesn't work for anyone that I know of. I've had hundreds of performers and athletes and regular people question me, challenge me on that, and nobody has been able to logically present a challenge I have not been able to destroy with deadly accurate truth. Bringing it back to fear of failure. How would you perform if you weren't afraid? It's tough to do that whole embrace failure thing. How are you going to embrace something we've been hating for years and have programming that I don't want and fear about it over and over and over and over? Much better, easier to land on, replace the idea of failure with deadly accurate truth. You don't need the label, the words, the concept whatsoever. It's truth that you can easily buy into, land on, be solid with. I call it deadly accurate truth. It's because it destroys fears. All right, go forward. There is no such thing as failure. Delete it. It's a story in your head that is not useful. Start thinking about useful stories for you that make you feel good so that you perform good. It's that simple. All right. I'll see you on the next podcast. This has been a blast. If you want to find out what has been holding you back from the life you want and the solution to clear it, get started with my mental toughness quiz found at mentaltoughnesstrainer.com and get serious about achieving your goals, or maybe even become a mental toughness trainer yourself. All right, let's do this.